Amen. Good to be back. Thanks, David, for teaching last week. Everybody said you did a great job. Lynette, here's your phone. Everybody turn your volumes down. Everyone said you did a great job, which means you'll never teach in here again. Thank you. All right, this is going to be a little controversial in the opening. I'm just telling you right now. I'm tired of all these commercials geared at men who get older and cannot quite meet the regulations of what... I know. But getting old is hard enough without somebody reminding you every other commercial that you got something to look forward to. Now... I know, honey. What, I should teach this like on Monday? There's a point, and you'll get it in a minute. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires that war against your soul. Please don't miss that. Don't miss that. Especially for us as guys, the battle with our eyes affect our mind. There is a war going on here today to get inside your head to turn you into something that God never intended you to have. Hey, man, I didn't realize it was you until I saw you sitting next to Daddy.
How's it going?
Now, it goes on to say this. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Which is a great promise from Peter that the Lord's what? Coming back. There's a coming back time. Okay? Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king or supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right, okay? For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. And he says this, understand all that, live as free men. In other words, that doesn't mean because we have all these rules that we have to come to, especially under authority, but he says we're to live as free men. But do not use your freedom to cover up for evil. That means this. To me, my interpretation. Hey, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I have been forgiven of everything I have ever done. Thus, I can do whatever I want because I'm free. No. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love your neighbor, your brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honor the king. Now, this isn't in your deal, but I'm going to throw this verse in. Slaves, submit yourself to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but submit to those who are harsh. Now, I left that out in your sheet because I didn't want to read all that, but I want to throw it in because something's coming, okay? I don't have the kind of TV right now that removes all the advertisements. I don't have, what is that thing where you can go back and watch? No. DVR. I don't have a DVR, okay? I don't know why I don't have it. I just don't have it. So I have to sit there and watch what? Every advertisement that they want to give me. Now, follow the principle. You see a good movie. You want to watch it. Agreed? Enjoy the first 30 minutes. Because after that, it's going to be interrupted every 2 minutes for a commercial, for an advertisement, so that these people can get their products to you. Okay? I drive down the road. What do I see? Billboards, signs, advertisements. Okay? So I have to realize this. Even when I get on the computer and I want to click on a sports thing, I click on it and what happens first? There is a 30-second commercial that I have to watch, or it's a 10-second commercial you have to watch, and you have to sit there and wait before you can hit no thanks. We are inundated with commercials. Now, the neat thing is, as believers, we're not selling anything. I got nothing to sell. Everything I have for people is a giveaway. I'm offering you eternal life in heaven through Jesus Christ. Giveaway. I'm offering you a full, abundant life while you're going to make the trip to heaven. Giveaway. They're all giveaways. But until you come to that place where you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you will never understand freedom, because you're going to be held hostage. And you know my story. I was a gambler. I was immoral. I came to know Christ. But there's still wars that go on inside my own head. The enemy's always bringing up my past. He's always bringing up my failures. There's temptation that bombards me every single day of my life. And sometimes I do good, sometimes I do bad. But I'm not allowing that to become the norm of my life. You with me? Now follow me. Here's your first fill-in. As Christians, what are you advertising with your life before folks? What is the message of life that you're sending to others? He said, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from sinful desires." So here's your fill-in. Again, Peter is saying we must what? Abstain. That means put off every sinful desire that wars against you. Now, do you see the thoughts in your mind that draw you away from God as a war? Do you see the pressures of life that come at you every single day as a war? Because watch this. God does, and Satan does. He sees it as a what? A war. I can't get your soul. So you know what? I'm going to get you to where you have no freedoms in your life, or you misuse the freedoms that you have. I'm coming after you. You are in a war, and most of us don't even what? Know it. You say, give me a personal example. Hey, stop picking on yourself. Look at me. When we're playing golf against the golf course or other people, they don't realize that it's a what? It's a war. It's a war. You say, what do you mean? I don't like to lose. That's going to surprise some of y'all. I don't like to lose. You know, when Andrew was 5, he'd go for a shot, I'd block it. You know, I don't like that. But you know what's worse? I play with guys that we don't gamble when we play golf. I mean, we just don't, okay? So I'm never playing against them. But to me, when I'm playing the course, it's a what? It's a war. You don't lose sight of this right now. There's a war that's going on between the enemy and you for who's going to have control of your mind, who's going to have control of your life. So here's the great truth. Let me give it to you again. I've given it to you 100 times. If what you're thinking is drawing you away from God, it's not God. It's an enemy that says, I want to control you the rest of your life. Now, understanding that principle, Caleb, I'm going to ask you a question. Mostly because I needed to know whether you talked or not. And so, okay. Do you see the principle that if the stuff I'm thinking has the ability to draw me away from God? Do you see this as an enemy trying to destroy your life? You know the answer to that is? No. See, I think that's just normal. You know, I'm a normal guy. Yeah, you are. But if we don't grab hold of the fact that there's somebody that's trying to what? Ruin your life. And it's with our own what? Stupidity. So he says this, abstain from this. Hold back. Draw away. Don't go near it. Don't go near it. On the 10th hole at Forest Ridge, after you get off the green, there's a stream that goes, and you got to cross over the stream. There are 2 or 3 really good-sized snakes. Snakes. They live in that stream. They live underneath the bridge. Every now and then you see they stick their head out. If there's not people around. See, when I see these snakes, what's my first thought? I want to go get closer. It's like seeing a tornado. Let's go outside and watch it. Oh, I try to get as close as I can to the snakes. Because I wonder, what do they feel like when you pet them? No. When I see a snake, what do I say? Is this a kiss you snake or a bite you snake? See, some of the snakes are what? They're not bothering anybody. They're just eating rats and mice and everything else. You got to know who those snakes are. So the ones that have their head and it's in a triangle, kill them. The other ones, what? No, watch this. How many of you, when you see a snake, is going to run? Satan's a what? He's a snake. And we don't what? You know, we don't run. Now, let me take it further. We must abstain from sinful desires that war against our souls. Watch this. We must run away from false advertisements. Whatever somebody's advertising to you that's going to draw you away from God, this is a false advertisement. And we what? We buy into it. Now, sinful desires, here's your fill-in, are best understood as strong desires motivated by my own what? Selfishness. Look to me. We've been dealing with this a lot. Let's keep dealing with it. Putting the old sinful flesh to death, okay, is a constant battle for every believer. And usually when Satan attacks me, I told you, he keeps great records of where I've been selfish in the past. He knows where to go after me. He knows how to get me. Why? Because usually when he's coming after me, I'm at my best or at my worst or I'm not paying attention. Galatians says this, but when you follow your own wrong inclinations, you live to produce what are evil or wicked thoughts. So he's telling us you're following your own selfishness. So Peter's making, okay, why is he making such a big deal out of this? Why abstain? We're forgiven. We need to abstain because these actions mount a full military campaign against the spiritual strength and vitality and growth of a believer. I've told you that the last couple of years, I've never felt so attacked in my life, and I have now realized this. This is a military campaign against me to destroy my relationship with me and Lynette or me and everybody else. And the enemy has to keep me what? To where I am of no value any longer to God. Get a hold of that. Let me take it further. Feeding the flesh, giving in to sinful thoughts, will in time tear down the believer. Peter is heavy on doing away with the flesh. Why? Why?
Well, that's where the enemy attacks
you. But why Peter? Why is Peter so heavy?
He's got great experience
here. If you talk about anyone that was fleshing out, remember what I've told you? Oh, we could all relate to Peter. Yeah, only up until the time he denies Christ. After that, we can't touch Peter. Because Peter saw the military campaign against him. When he saw who he was compared to who Christ was, he made the what? He made the change. One of my prayers this morning was this. The verse that God gave me was this. And I will give you fresh oil. And here's what I wrote down. Lord, I want fresh oil. I want every bit of those areas of my life that draw me away from God to be finally put to death. Finally put to death. But this is going to take what? A deep abiding relationship with God, and you're going to see that in just a minute. I have told you Satan's desire is to wear you down, to make you spiritually weak, and eventually what? Ineffective. There's your villain. Ineffective. The sad thing about many believers is that they can be ineffective and watch this, not even know it. Not even know it. Zach, I have been in churches, okay, where I've watched leadership be leadership without God being a million miles near it. Why? Because they're capable leaders. You know, I've been in other churches. And I'm not kidding about this. David, I've been in other churches where the Spirit of God had departed and they didn't even know it. The Spirit of God departed and they didn't even know it. For many believers, if the Spirit of God is not working actively in your life, not only to convict you of sin, but also to convict you of who you are, of your own righteousness. Of who you are as children of God. So John Yates told us a couple weeks ago that we should be taking a positive approach to demonstrate a different quality of life than non-believers see. A different quality of life. Now, Peter's going to rev it up a little bit. Again, Satan's tool for many of us is to just bring you to a place where you're indifferent. Just indifferent. Watch this. No opinion or silence opinion is still a what? It's still an opinion. It's still an opinion. See, most of us today, if we're honest, have absolutely no burden that you have. None. Why? We can't relate to the life of prostitutes. We can't relate to that at all. So we become what? Indifferent. Instead of being indifferent, I think what we have to say is this. Let's be aware of every war that goes around us, whether we're involved in it or not. It's made me pray for you more. It makes me pray for what you're doing. really coming to the place where I say, you know, what I want from God is what God wants. So there's several callings for us here. Number one, the calling is submit yourself to God. Submission is an overriding action required by every believer. We have to submit to authorities. You say, in what way? You're driving down Highway 44, and when they put those signs up that are, you know, give you kind of an idea, it's not, I mean, just an idea of how fast you should be going. Yeah, you know, they're giving you an idea. Yeah, a guideline, a little guideline on how to go. You should be aware of the guidelines. See, they're suggestions to you. Now, I love driving through Texas because there's one highway, they said, you can suggest up to about 85, 90 miles an hour, which makes me want to go what? Faster! Submit to God, submit to government. And I'm going to say this, unless what they're violating God's word, in other words, because governments have said in some states that aborting children is okay, does not mean that I put my stamp of approval on what they say is okay. Because it's not okay. By being submissive to authority, what we really do is we're commanded to do good. It really means, here's your fill-in, it means really doing right in God's eyes, not in man's eyes. You see, what God calls sin today, no matter how little or how big your sin is, today, the world celebrates it. The world celebrates it. It's not just okay. If you don't agree with what I think's okay, then you're a problem. Well, I'm sorry, I can't agree with you with something that I know violates the Word of God. But watch this. Here's worse. I can no longer stand indifferent about it. At least in my prayer life. At least in my prayer life, I can't be indifferent. I have to pour out my heart to God. Now, this will not just accomplish the will of God, it will also be a powerful testimony concerning the character of God. See, this isn't just about God changing our character. Although, would we all agree here today that every one of us has some character changes? I know I do. Would you agree with that today? It's about revealing the character of God. What's the greatest way for people to see the holiness of God? To see you respond with the holiness of God, especially when it's what? When it's hard, when it's difficult, when you're feeling bad, when things aren't going the way you want. When things aren't going exactly the way I want. Now, if we say we believe God, okay, then we should what? Be living like we believe what we say we believe. Gosh, that's hard. Gosh, that's hard. Because we have ourselves not only on a performance-based acceptance, we have God on a performance-based acceptance, and it's not like God's not performing for me the way he should. I spend all my time feeling guilty that I'm not performing the way I should. Don't you see? Let me go on to say this. Christian freedoms. In submission, does a believer lose his freedom?
Wait.
I said character. That's the last fill-in. It really means, I said, doing right in God's eyes, not man's eyes.
Okay, then we're on track. We thought you were jumping down. See the next Christian
brief. See, I said the word, you just didn't get it.
Didn't. So you haven't got what Peter is telling us. Freedom in the New Testament is not talking about what and what.
No, we haven't gotten there yet.
Okay.
Are we all on the same page here?
Yeah. You said Christian freedom.
Anybody with me?
No.
All right, watch this. Let me start again. It really means doing right in God's eyes concerning God's character, Christian freedom. The fill-ins, Peter is telling us freedom in the New Testament is not talking about political freedom, but spiritual freedom, being spiritually free. So what are Christian freedoms? Number one, freedom from the ruling power of sin in our lives. In other words, if we say we have Christian freedom, okay, then the ruling power against me, I have the freedom to say what? No. How many of y'all just turned 21? You're 21? You look so much mature. Do you know at the University of Arkansas at age 21, you have the freedom to go down to all the Billy Bob, Sudsucking places you want and have a beer?
They had the freedom before
21.
That's because they had fake
ID. Oh. Watch this, guys. You also have the freedom to say no. Well, there's nothing in the Bible that says you can't drink. There's nothing in the Bible that says you can't walk across into that field and eat a hot cow patty either. It just doesn't seem like the smartest thing. And when you grow up in my world and you saw what a drunken dad was like, then you'll understand that Satan wants you to start out in the minimum, hoping he can get you to the maximum. Well, but we're free to drink. Yes, you are. But you're also free to say what? That's not best for me. That's not what's best for me. That's exactly right. And, you know, our declaration of independence comes because we're not willing to submit to what God said is right. And the temptation is to always kind of fill your head with, did God really say you can't do that? Is God really telling you you can't do that? Now, freedom from ruling power of sin in our lives. Okay, we got that. I underline ruling because it does not mean we won't have bad temper days. It does not mean you won't have bad pride days. Oh, watch this one. And this one is like an enigma to me. It does not mean you won't have bad wife days. Because sometimes they don't act right. Now you're going to see this. Hey, watch this. Not next week, but the following week, we're going to get into, I'll just tell you right now, we're going to spend 2 weeks talking about marriage because Peter does. Okay? We're going to talk about marriage. Do you know, watch this. Well, then I'll give it to you right now. Ready? Here it is. Do you know Peter spent 20-something verses talking to wives and one verse talking to husbands? Why? She said that's all they could take in. You say, why is that? I'll tell you in 2 weeks. Now, number two, freedom from guilt because our sins have been forgiven by God. We have a what? A freedom from guilt. Even when God's dealing with my heart, I still have the freedom to be able to stop and say what? I have the ability not only to be forgiven, do you know I have the ability to obey?
That is something that I see in a lot of believers. They have not reconciled their sin and guilt and understand. I have a full freedom in the understanding. it is gone. That it is, the word says, as far as from the east to the west. And they subconsciously carry this guilt and shame, and it's underlined.
Absolutely.
And they, it's just like that snake you talked about. Every so often, that head comes popping up there, and it causes them grief. And I'm telling you, there's nothing like when you finally grasp that concept that you are, have been forgiven. You are walking in this freedom. It doesn't mean that you don't have bad.
And it doesn't mean the war's over.
Bad husband days. It means that.
See, bad husband days are every day.
in seriousness, really, this is something that is a game changer.
Absolutely. Remember what I said last couple weeks? You know, well, I just can't forgive myself. That's not in the Bible. It is not biblical. When you say I can't forgive myself, you're placing yourself above God. And what you're saying is, okay, he's forgiven me, but I can't forgive me. It's not only the epitome of pride, but it becomes the idea that I'm more powerful than what God says. I'm more powerful. Okay, freedom from the impossible obligation of earning favor with God by what I do. Now, here's what that means. It is impossible for me to live a perfect life before God and then spend the rest of my life feeling guilty because I can't. Listen, I have an obligation of earning God's favor by simply doing what? By being what I am. I'm a child of God. By being righteous and holy. When I have a bad day, I confess it with Him. I tell Him this is a bad day. If I did something wrong, I have to go to God and acknowledge to Him that this is wrong. And then I've got to get back on track to being what God says I am, which is what? Righteous and holy. I mean, that's what He says about us. And because He says we're righteous and holy, we got to start believing that. Okay? Again, we're not on a performance-based acceptance with God. Nor do we have freedom as believer to do wrong and say it's okay. Listen, no cheap grace here. No cheap grace here. Cheap grace says, oh, I can live anywhere I want and God forgives me. No. Hey, no cheap grace here when it comes to salvation. You've got to be willing to say, I want God more than I want what I want. I want to be saved from my sin so I can start realizing exactly what God says He has for me in my life. Because for me, after I became a Christian at age 26, I'm not gambling anymore. I don't drink anymore. And it's not because I don't have that thought in my head. It's just that's not who I am anymore. It's not who I am anymore. And I'm learning to be a what? An overcomer. I'm learning to be an overcomer. Now, let me take it further. The perfect Son of God lives in me. He enables me to obey and do what's right. I have the freedom to choose. I have an obligation to choose wisely. I love the movie, and I've shared this with you before. You knew where I was going. I love the movie Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. They're searching for the what? Holy Grail. Remember, they get in there. You see the heads rolling down from everybody's trying to get through. And he walks through, and now Indy's going to go through. And he said, the first way you go through is only the penitent man can pass. The penitent man. The penitent man. The penitent man is, bow down. And he sticks a board in there, and the things can't cut his head off. Then the next step is you have to come through Jehovah. But it's a Catholic movie, so Jehovah is spelled with an I. Okay? So you have to come through Jehovah. And then the third step was what? You had to take the leap of faith from the lion's head. In this movie, Hollywood just told you how to get saved and they don't even know they did it. You got to come with a broken heart before God, penitent before God. You have to come to God in the name of Jesus and you have to step out in faith. And when he stepped out in faith, he landed on the runway that nobody could see. And then remember the German guy and the blonde girl, comes by, okay? And they got to pick up a chalice, you know, to drink from it to have eternal life. And of course, what did the old man say to them? Choose wisely. course, the guy picked the one with gold and diamonds in it and drank it. And, you know, of course, his hair starts growing out, which at first I thought, this is good. This is good. Okay. And then his eyes roll back in his eyes and his head explodes. And the old man says what? He chose poorly. Well, I guess. So. I know. You're welcome. Now, why obey? If you're forgiven, why obey? Because it's right and God is worthy of our loyalty. God is worthy of our loyalty. The beauty of any relationship that has life bears fruit and that it enters into by choice. You have a choice today to not only receive Christ in your heart as your Savior, you have the choice today to walk with Him the rest of your life, doing it His way.
I recommend the book by Bonhoeffer, where he compares cheap grace and costly grace. He was asked how Christians were able to go along with the whole Nazi scheme. He said it's because of cheap grace. They had little by little, bought what the world was selling instead of,
there was the one verse in there that said, slaves, obey your masters. I'm not going to go in deep to that, but let me just share this with you. I'm not going to dissect what all that means, but it really is talking about that position of submission. Now, I think one of the things that you have to recognize here is this. Some of the slaves during that time were highly educated people. They were doctors. They were musicians. They were teachers. And yet, because of some circumstance, and especially if they're Jewish, they became what? They became slaves. Peter next is going to talk about unjust suffering. Okay, there's your fill-in. He puts an emphasis on unjust suffering, comes to the true believer. When it does come, he's always going to do right. We are called to live good lives to be a testimony of God in our lives. Peter's praise is directed to the believer who bears up under trials and is able to what? Endure suffering. When life is unfair, I'm still going to act right by a consciousness of who God is and His worship of God. Again, remember, when the trials of life are coming, when the world seems to be cratering in on you, when the temptations are more than you can handle, I shared with you the last several weeks, you must move to a time of worship. You got to start worshiping inside your own mind and your own heart. Otherwise, your mind's still going to be captivated by whatever is captivating your mind. Don't you see? Now, again, we overcome trials and temptations. I tell you, I've been reading a book by Dennis Jernigan called Giant Killers. Several things that I've learned from him. Number one, God wants to show His love to us. He's not drawing us near to God, but watch this. Please look at me. I don't want you to miss this. This isn't about just you drawing near to God. This is about letting God draw near to you. Get a hold of that. God desires to draw near to you. This isn't just about spending the rest of our life trying to perform well to be pleasing to God. This isn't about me trying to do what I can so that God will affirm me. This is about allowing God to draw near to me. In a relationship, there's got to be talking and listening. See, we talk to God all the time and fail to stop and listen. What is God trying to say to us today? Worship is shortened form of an old English word, and worship comes from the word called worth-ship. Worth-ship. That's your filling. Worth-ship. So the gist of it all is this. We worship what's worthy to worship. Is God worthy of our worship? So He has what? Worth. God wants to draw near to us because we have worth. We have worth. Now, follow me. Number three, it is seeking to know God so he can direct His will into my path. So He can and will direct my path. Relationship can't be just one-sided. Number four, worship is divine defined by obedience to God. Obedience requires surrender of my will to God. It says, show proper respect to everyone, even to those who bug you. Boy, that's hard, isn't it? That's hard. You got to show proper respect. Watch this. You have to show proper respect even when I'm at my worst.
And I'm masterful at it.
Yes, you are. Love, you're supposed to love the brotherhood of believers. We love the family of God. You don't have to agree with them. You don't have to take them all out to dinner. Now, the only proviso I'm going to throw in here is if you have family members that are rotten, I'll just be rotten back to them. It's okay. That's a joke for those of you who are listening on the radio. Okay. It's really doing what's right also, doing what's right. It's doing what's right before God. Don't tell me you love God and you're not willing to obey God. You got to be willing to obey. Showing proper respect, loving them. It should be honoring God with honesty. You got to be honest about where you are today. You got to be honest about your own walk with God. You got to be honest with yourself. Okay? Honesty requires confession with God and with loved ones. Realizing what is my spiritual condition today and what changes do I need to make. Confession requires trust, which paves the way to a deeper relationship with God and loved ones. I got to know that, excuse me, oh gosh, that was hard to get out. That one snuck out. Better to this end. Now, I'm sorry, it just came out. You have no idea. You have no idea. Now, trust God to make the changes He desires to make in my life. And I got one already He needs to make. Final thoughts. Final thoughts. Okay? Make sure what you're advertising and what you're living out. Make sure you're giving the right advertisement. Don't be a false advertisement to people. Hey, when people say, you go to church, David? Oh, yeah. No kidding. Really? It should not be a surprise to people, especially at American Airlines, that you what? You're a church person. Shouldn't be a surprise. I'm grateful when what I do displeases God, He doesn't allow me to keep what? Doing it. There's that conviction from God and conviction from the Spirit. Do I really understand? Okay, oh, number two, get a better understanding of your own worth and God's worth. You know, what is God's worth? Watch this. Am I willing to let God draw near to me? Am I willing to not only open the Word, but am I willing to listen to whatever it is God wants to say to me? Do I really understand the value that God places on me, not for me to think more highly of myself, as much as He placed value on me for me to carry out what He says we are. Remember to be honest with yourself and with God. Being honest is the beginning of walking with God that leads us to a point of being able to worship God and live in victory. It starts by being honest with God and myself. Number four, pray that your advertisement will in time bear fruit into the life of other people. Remember I told you about the little kid that came to me one time, about 7 years old? Here's what he said to me. He goes, Brother Harry, I'd like to ask Jesus into my heart. Brother Harry, I want to ask Jesus into my heart. And I said, why do you think you need to do that? Oh, because I've sinned against God. You're like seven. How much sin could you have done? Oh, I've done a lot. I said, well, why do you want to become a Christian? He goes, well, I don't know. I guess it just runs in my family. I guess it just runs in my family. And it ought to what? Run in your family. Spend less time evaluating. Oh, this is a good one. Spend less time evaluating everybody else's fruit. Take a look at your own tree. Final thought. God values us. He values you. And today, God wants to draw near to you. He wants to draw near to you. Let him. You say, well, how do you start that? God, I want to be honest. I want more of you and less of me. I want to know what is truth. Remember Jimi Hendrix, left-handed guitarist, supposed to be the greatest guitarist of all times, stood up at the Rose Bowl during a concert, did this, and everybody quieted down. And here's what he said. Is there anyone here who can tell me what truth is? And my friend Kelly Green was at that concert. He goes, Harry, to this day, I'm sad I didn't jump up and shout out, Jesus is truth. Jesus is truth. Whatever the truth needs to be applied to your life today, whether you're here today and you need to be saved, God wants to save you. Not only that, he wants to draw near to you and give you life. Not only that, he wants to make you effective. If you're a Christian today and you know Christ, but you still have some of those areas in your life that need to be changed, and we all do, okay? Ask God today for some fresh oil. You know, maybe fresh oil with our attitude toward family members, attitude about our circumstances. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, the worst scenario to me is this. Can you imagine going through life and you have like 100 children and you move? That could really give you a bad attitude, couldn't it? Inside joke. Father God, thanks for today. Thank you for what you're teaching us. Father, I pray that you would give us fresh oil, that you'd give us not only the ability to say no to sin, but Father, that you would continually work on our hearts and develop our character. But more than that, God, today, everyone in this room, would you please draw near to us today that we can know your presence in our heart today and do what you have to do in all our lives. Now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. See you next week.